Not sure about you, but when I was a kid, I tried to stay out of trouble at school because I didn't want to get detention. But times have changed, and now some students are getting fined hundreds of dollars when they misbehave at school. In Illinois, state law bans schools from fining kids as a form of discipline, but an investigation from the Chicago Tribune and ProPublica found out that the police are doing it for them. Jennifer Smith Richards is a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and she joins me now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So schools aren't technically fining these kids or their families directly because that would be illegal, as we said, under state law. So how is this happening? What's the workaround with police?
You'll find many schools these days, particularly high schools, have a school police officer, what's called a school resource officer. And in many cases, what's happening here is that administrators, the principal, the assistant principal, are passing on student misbehavior, details of the student misbehavior, to the police officer, often who's stationed in the school. And the police officer is taking it from there and ticketing the child for violating a local ordinance. So that could be something like fighting at school. It could be, having a vaping device or small amounts of cannabis, and in some cases, even truancy.
And what kind of fines are we talking about?
So Illinois state law caps the amount of the fine at $750. And so you'll see a pretty wide range of fines. In one city, you might see a $50 fine. And in another, for fighting, for example, $450. They get very, very expensive for families who really struggle to pay those large amounts.
So I'm thinking as a parent, I'm just putting on my parent hat here. What ever happened to something like detention or a suspension? Do the schools think that is no longer an adequate response to these types of misbehaviors that have been going on, frankly, for years, decades, ever since there's been kids in high school?
Right. These are typical adolescent behaviors. It's sort of exactly what you remember from high school, fighting in the locker room or, smoking in the bathroom. Those types of disciplines are still happening. The addition of the police ticket is another layer. It's a second layer of discipline. And what we have heard from some educators is that they're trying to get students' attention. They're trying to get the family's attention. And they feel like students who misbehave need a second layer of consequences that feel more serious.
So you also found, I understand, that police were issuing those tickets disproportionately to Black students. So tell me about the racial disparities that you uncovered here.
We did. And this is a really difficult thing to uncover. Not only is there no requirement that schools or police track the ticketing that they're doing of students, of young people across the state, they also are not required to track the race of the students ticketed. However, we were able to track the race of the person ticketed for about 4,000 tickets. And Black students, over the past 3 years, have been ticketed about twice as often as their white peers.
We'll link people to your article at hearitnow.org, but one of the people that you quoted in one of the stories here said that this is, to them, the next iteration of the school-to-prison pipeline. Explain what that person is talking about and what kind of long-term consequences this might have for families who cannot pay these fines.
Right. What we're talking about here is a ticket. Right. So you can imagine, a parking ticket. It's a pretty low level thing. In fact, it's not a criminal offense. It's a civil matter. But the impacts are pretty far reaching. So in addition to connecting a student at school with police and then with a, quasi-judicial system, you're creating a record for that student. What we were able to find is that it's not at all uncommon for that student's name to be associated with the ticket and for there to be a record of the ticket kept at the municipality. The local police are aware that that student has been ticketed. And if that child and the family don't pay, many municipalities will send that debt to collections. So they may collect directly from the student once the student turns 18, or they may collect from the families. We found families whose tax refunds had been garnished because of debt that their teenagers accrued in high school from these tickets. So the implications are pretty far-reaching, and they stay with kids for quite a long time.
Well, and as you described, this could be a lot of money, in some cases several hundred dollars if you get in a fight, right? So what kind of stories did you hear from parents who have trouble paying these back? what are they doing to fulfill that obligation if they can?
Yeah, we met so many parents who had entered into payment plans where they were making, you know, small payments incrementally over time, and they were weighing whether to pay a utility bill or the ticket debt that was outstanding. We found parents who had been struggling to get into a home, had been living in a hotel, and were trying and trying to pay and couldn't. It really was a struggle for these parents who were just trying to make ends meet while also paying off a ticket from their 16-year-old having, you know, tobacco at school.
You focused on the state of Illinois. Did you get any information about whether this is happening in other places as well, other states?
Yeah, this is a really tough thing to report on because, like I said, there's very little information out there and no one is really required to track it. But we did find evidence that there is ticketing happening in other states. We found stories about ticketing in Texas, in Los Angeles. We've seen evidence of ticketing in Milwaukee. But again, because this is something that the federal government doesn't require information on, it's really difficult to tell exactly how widespread it is.
Jennifer Smith Richards is a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. We'll link you to her investigation with ProPublica at hereandnow.org. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.